Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Disciples of Emmaus, you know the things that have happened in these days, the things concerning Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his cross and passion, and his resurrection from the dead. By his cross he has redeemed you, forgiven all your sins, and conquered the power that death held over you. And in his resurrection, he has opened up heaven and eternal life to you and to all who believe and are baptized into him, for which he has poured out his Spirit generously upon your body and your soul. So how is it then that you also are still often so sad? Why is your countenance fallen? Why should you be angry or afraid of anything, or discouraged or depressed about anything at all, when Christ your Lord, the Son of God, has suffered these things for you and entered into his glory on your behalf? Knowing and confessing all that the scriptures of the prophets and apostles have told you, why are you so foolish and slow of heart to believe the gospel? One of the striking things about this precious holy gospel for which our congregation is named, I pointed it out many times in the past, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they already know the whole story. They know all about Jesus, his preaching and teaching, his miracles. They know about his passion, his cross, his death and burial. They even know about the empty tomb and the word of the angels and the testimony of the women and the other apostles. And still they are downcast and sad, without hope. What's especially interesting to me about St. Luke's Holy Gospel is his Easter account, chapter 24. Nobody has the body of Jesus until they get to the table and the breaking of the bread. Up until that point, he's missing in action. The empty tomb they find, the angels they hear, the women, the other apostles, Peter and John. But the body of Jesus is still missing. And that's what everybody's looking for. And I would suggest to you that that is what is missing in your life as well. On those occasions, when you are so sad or depressed or angry or disappointed, discouraged, or whatever the case may be. The fact is that here and now in this body and life, you're making your way, you're muddling forward as best you can, but without any clear sense of where you really are or where you're going. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't even know what the rest of this evening holds. The days and the hours fly by, seemingly relentless, but you're stuck living in a time between, restless and uncertain, on a journey to your true home, which you can't yet see or perceive. Your heart, mind, and spirit are tossed about by the turmoil of this perishing world, and you are torn between death and life, between sin and faith, and between what you can and cannot see with your eyes, caught between earth and heaven. And here, your senses too easily trick you and fool you, so that earthly things seem powerful, glorious, even heavenly, whereas heavenly things seem ghostly, ghastly, and hard to comprehend or bear. You live by faith and not by sight along the way. And as such, your only real recourse is the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures of the prophets and apostles. The Holy Gospel of your Lord Jesus Christ is written by his holy evangelist, and the Word of Christ Jesus himself, the Word made flesh. So, Christian, avail yourself of that Word. Do not neglect it or leave it to lay unattended. Speak it to your neighbor, and just as important, ask your neighbor to speak it to you. Confess it and pray it and sing it as you go about your days. You rise up in the morning and again when you go to bed each night. And in particular, give attention to the preaching of the gospel of the forgiveness of your sins. Now, I realize that it can seem kind of pointless, even useless at times, to talk about Jesus when what you're facing are very tangible hurts and needs and worries and disappointments that wear you out and weigh you down. When the things that you're struggling with and dealing with are very practical kinds of things, maybe problems in your marriage and family, or you've got bills that you are struggling to figure out how to pay, or your car is falling apart, or your house is falling apart, or your friends are not getting along with each other, or maybe they're not getting along with you, and all of these things press upon you, and they seem very real and very tangible and very urgent. And talking about Jesus really doesn't seem like any kind of solution. Now, if that sounds impious, irreverent, maybe even blasphemous, still, you know that it can feel that way, and that you often live as though that were, in fact, the case. Just think about how easily you get caught up in the maelstrom of this world with all of its anxieties and countless distractions. Think about your daily routines and how the duties and demands of your job, your classes, your home and family, your neighbors round about, all of these things consume your attention and your energies so that you end up living and acting as though the resurrection hadn't even happened or as though it really didn't make much difference. Even now, when Holy Week has ushered you into this glorious Easter tide, it's almost like it didn't even happen. It's back to business as usual. There are those days when you can barely keep yourself going, one foot in front of the other, and you may not feel like talking anymore. And you really don't want to hear it, not even about Jesus. And that is precisely why it is absolutely so important that you dare not try to go it alone, lest you spiral into a silence of the Word of God and give yourself over to the constant buzz, the nauseating static, and the deadly white noise of your own inner dialogue, which does not believe, but doubts and denies the Word of the Lord. When you're listening to yourself, your own thoughts and feelings, your own ideas and logic and insight and speculations, instead of hearing and receiving the word concerning Jesus of Nazareth. So, in spite of your nagging and persistent sadness, and no matter what you may be thinking or feeling at any given point, no matter what your doubts and fears may be, it is in the speaking of his word, in the conversation about Jesus, that the crucified and risen Lord Jesus himself draws near and travels right along with you. In and with his word and by and with his Holy Spirit, he is actively present and he opens the scriptures to you. Not just to know what it says, not just to know the stories, but to take to heart and believe and trust what it really means. And this again is one of the things that's so striking about this holy gospel for which we are named. Those two guys knew all the facts and they were still sad, but it was precisely in their talking about these things of Jesus that Jesus himself came to them and traveled with them. And then he's the one who has to explain it all to them. This is not a do-it-yourself program. It's a Jesus-do-it-for-you program. He opens up your ears to hear, and he opens up your heart to believe, and he even opens up your mind to comprehend these astonishing mysteries of the faith, to believe the Holy Gospel, to hear and receive the free and full forgiveness of all your sins, even those that you're most afraid of, most ashamed of. And that is the solution That holy gospel, that free and full forgiveness of your sins, that is the solution to all of your doubts and fears. That is the remedy to every infirmity of heart and mind, of body, soul, and spirit. It may not cure your cancer. It may not take away your clinical depression. It may not get your job back or fix your marriage or restore your friendships, but it does save you for eternal life because it gives you peace and friendship with God and a place within the body of Christ, the communion of saints. What is more, it is by and with his word of the gospel that Jesus brings you home, that is, to your true home, which is the household and family of God, the holy Christian church, the body of Christ Jesus. On the surface of it, it may appear that he is coming to be your guest, just as that's how it looked to those disciples, those first disciples of that first Emmaus, when they show him hospitality, invite him to come and stay with them for the evening. But as then, so now, it quickly turns around that he is actually the host who takes you in and takes care of you and serves you at his table with his own hand, with his word and Holy Spirit in his own body of flesh and blood. He comes to make his home with you here in order to make a home for you with him. Already now in his church on earth, and so also in the resurrection of your body to the life everlasting in the kingdom of God. Here then, at his altar in his house, is the lavish table at which he tenderly invites you to recline and take your rest, to receive and feast upon the meal that he has prepared for you and for the many. He takes the bread, he gives thanks, and gives to you what everyone is looking for and needs. Not just the empty tomb, not just the news and information about the resurrection, but he gives to you his own crucified and risen body, in the breaking of the bread, in the holy communion of his supper. Even to the close of the age, that is where the church finds her Lord. St. Luke makes that clear. Jesus makes that clear in this holy gospel, because it's when they finally recognize him in the breaking of the bread that he vanishes from their sight. Because it is not by sight, but in the sacrament, that Jesus is with you and for you and given to you to eat and to drink. That is where the whole Christian church on earth recognizes, receives, and worships your dear Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where you are also at home and at peace and at rest in the body of Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.